Welcome to the third of three interviews with the faculty of the Educational Initiative entitled Contemporary Strategies for Improving Adult Immunization Rates Across the Health System. These interviews were produced by ASHP Advantage and supported by an educational grant from Pfizer. The interview with Dr. Michael Hogue from Samford University was recorded in May of 2012. Dr. Hogue is Associate Professor and Chair of the Department of Pharmacy Practice at the McWhorter School of Pharmacy, Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. Welcome, Dr. Hogue.
Thank you.
Dr. Hogue, in your experience in working with various hospitals and health systems to help them improve the percentage of adults that are immunized, what do you see as some of the significant challenges that hospitals have to overcome?
That's a great question. And my personal experience is that most hospitals and health systems have as their most significant challenge failure to clearly articulate responsibilities for immunization advocacy within the hospital. Oftentimes, each professional within the health system assumes that the other professional is going to take care of immunization responsibilities. And so in the end, what happens is that every healthcare professional winds up skipping over the advocacy and forgetting to do those things necessary to move the immunization rates forward. For example, physicians may assume that because nurses often administer vaccines, that the nurses are going to be responsible for checking the immunization status and offering the vaccine to the patient, and that may not occur. The nurses may assume that because the physicians are the prescribers, that it's the physician's responsibility to take care of the vaccination events and order the vaccine. And so they may be reluctant to advocate for the vaccination as a result of that. And pharmacy may or may not remember to be involved with vaccines because the clinical pharmacist may be more involved or thinking more prominently about the acute healthcare needs of the patient at the moment and may not be considering the long-term need for vaccination and medication prevention. So that is a huge barrier, as I've seen in many hospitals. And then clearly defining those issues and determining what each professional's role is very important.
Do you see trends in the roles that various disciplines play?
Yes, well, there's an increasing body of literature out there now that shows that standing order programs that allow nurses and pharmacists particularly to take more of a proactive role in screening and actually administering vaccine without a further physician's order are very effective at improving immunization rates. And so the role really has become an interdisciplinary or a multidisciplinary role within the healthcare system. The mantra within public health is that every healthcare professional should be evaluating every patient at every encounter. And that really applies across the health system, both while the patient's hospitalized and in the ambulatory care setting. We should be looking for those opportunities and eliminating missed opportunities as much as possible.
Are there some models that you've seen that you like better than others?
One model that I think has been incredibly effective is a model that I've seen at one local hospital here in Birmingham, where the nursing staff actually screens the patient on admission and tries to determine the patient's immunization status, particularly for pneumococcal vaccine and for influenza vaccine. They try to make the opportunity available and do some advocacy with the patients there at admission. But then in addition to that, the hospital has incorporated into its medication reconciliation process, which is a pharmacy-run process in this particular hospital, the review of the patient's vaccination status at transitions of care. And then at that point, the pharmacist actually has the opportunity to recommend vaccination as part of the medication reconciliation process. So this particular hospital utilizes not only admissions, but anytime there is a transition of care, they utilize that opportunity. And that's both nursing and pharmacy involvement. And in that particular hospital, the physicians have executed standing orders, which allow nursing or pharmacy to be able to order the vaccine for the adult patient and ensure that it gets administered to the patient before discharge.
And that model is, do the immunization right at discharge, or do they do it at other points during the patient's stay?
The vaccination is administered at whatever point in the patient's stay that the clinician is able to successfully advocate for its administration. Oftentimes, the most logical point in health system for that to happen is at admission or at discharge. But there are other times and other transitions that occur during hospitalization when immunization services could be administered. And oftentimes, of course, it's nursing that, in fact, does the administration of the patient. In most hospitals, pharmacy does not get involved in administration, but pharmacy may, in fact, be involved in writing the order or calling to the attention the need for the vaccine to be administered.
Okay. Earlier, you talked about how one of the barriers that you often see is that there isn't an immunization champion or somebody that is visibly an advocate for immunization, and so everybody kind of thinks that somebody else is doing it. Are there new developments in healthcare that pharmacists or nurses or other practitioners can use to kind of underline the importance of immunizing adults, you know, beyond the obvious benefits of just being immunized?
Well, paper performance is definitely the mantra today. And of course, you know, our healthcare system is looking at ways to save dollars. And it's recognized very widely that maximal utilization of influenza pneumococcal vaccine decreases readmission rates and rehospitalization for a variety of conditions related to those two major infectious diseases. And so definitely there are pay for performance programs. Of course, the Joint Commission accreditation guidelines now measure the compliance of hospitals and health systems with regard to those two vaccines in particular. If a health system includes a skilled nursing facility or outpatient nursing services, those are also tracked by accrediting bodies that look at those units. And of course, even private physicians' offices within a health system on the outpatient side are being tracked now in terms of their reimbursement rates. And there are both private insurers and public insurers that are looking at paying an increased or a better reimbursement rate based upon meeting certain pay-for-performance guidelines. So there's definitely an incentive out there for providers to be cognizant of their immunization rates, know what their immunization rates are, and try to move that needle forward. And of course, health systems that have included the entire multidisciplinary team in those efforts have, I think, had the best success in improving the needle or moving the needle forward and getting those immunization rates up.
Do you think that most institutions are aware of what their immunization rates are?
I believe it's becoming more prominent for institutions to know their immunization rates for influenza and pneumococcal disease. I think the average clinician within the hospital does not know that. And in fact, the best practice would be that the Infection Control Committee or the Quality Assurance Committee within the hospital would actually post or publish this hospital's immunization rates for pneumococcal disease and influenza for some period of time previously, to always remind the staff that this is a quality metric that the hospital is trying to achieve. Many hospitals post patient satisfaction data for the public to see. They post, obviously, CMS is now posting certain quality metrics on their website for hospitals. And pneumococcal and influenza immunization rates are something that hospitals ought to be making their staff readily available and making their staff aware of, so that staff do put some focus and emphasis on these vaccines.
And some of the programs that you're talking about are some of the institutions that you've worked with. How common is it that there's a patient education component?
Well, I think that hospitals and health systems are finding themselves very resource constricted in the current economic environment. And so being able to provide in-depth education about vaccines is a struggle at best. And some of the best models that I've seen here in the Birmingham metro area are those that actually utilize health profession students to take the primary role in educating patients. It's a logical thing, if you really think about it, is to engage students in medicine, nursing, and pharmacy and educating patients at the bedside. They definitely need the experience and practice at providing verbal education to patients and learning about doing motivational interviewing and all of those skills that they're learning about in the classroom. And they need to apply that to a patient care situation. And of course, prevention is a great emphasis and a great opportunity to teach those students. And so, you know, the systems I think that are doing a really good job of this right now are really engaging their medical, pharmacy, and nursing students in advocating at the patient's bedside. And in that way, they're able to overcome the resource constriction that the hospital might have with its full-time medical staff or professional staff within the hospital.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Along those lines, are there certain tools that you've seen used for screening or education that you think are better than others, or perhaps there's just characteristics of them that you advocate?
Sure. Well, many of the hospital systems now, computerized order entry systems, have pre-programmed in criteria for screening patients for a variety of conditions, and immunizations are no different. And of course, if those computerized physician order entry systems can prompt practitioners to screen for immunization status based upon, you know, the patient's admission or diagnostic ICD-9 code, that is certainly a very effective way to do it at the point of care. You know, most of these CPOE systems have templates and protocols put into place based upon the discipline and the type of service that's being provided. And I think oftentimes when those protocols and templates are built, often the immunization status of the patient is something that's not thought about or is left off of those templates and checklists that are created in CPOE. And I think it's imperative that as a hospital informatics pharmacist or the informatics personnel within the hospitals are building out those CPOE protocols, that they ensure that they include appropriate immunization screening as a checklist, because then that enables the clinician, whomever it is, to order that vaccine right away. One thing I'd like to point out specifically to pharmacy and nursing is that your medication reconciliation and doing that at the transition of care is certainly a big topic, and hospitals have in the past couple of years dedicated a lot of resources to med rec programs. There are still many imperfections that are out there, especially in the transition from the inpatient setting to the outpatient setting. And there's a lot of breakdown that occurs in communication at that particular transition of care. And one thing I would like to point out is that as we begin to move toward better electronic data and health exchanges and health interchanges at the state and federal levels, I would just like to recommend pharmacists and nurses who might be in charge of those processes remember that vaccines are drugs and they contain ICD-9 codes. And many of those systems that are used for medication reconciliation are driven based upon ICD-9 codes of the drugs. And so, you know, those vaccines are there. They're in your system. They're listed and they're available. Utilize that opportunity to document the vaccinations that a patient may have received while they were an inpatient, and use that medication reconciliation document at discharge as a communication tool so that the outpatient physician and the outpatient pharmacist are fully aware of immunizations that may have been received by the patient while they are an inpatient. You know, unfortunately, most states in the country do not have a state immunization registry or database for adult patients. Most of the state registries that exist are exclusive to pediatric patients. There's only a handful of states that have a registry for adult patients. And it's really important that the fact that the immunization event did occur in the hospital, that that gets communicated back out to the primary care provider in the community and to the community pharmacists who are now very involved in immunization activities, especially with flu and pneumococcal disease. Because, you know, while it's important that we make sure that everyone has appropriate immunization and is fully immunized, We also don't want to over-immunize or give excessive doses or unnecessary doses of vaccine to patients, because that's just not a cost-effective strategy. So it's really critical that, in medication reconciliation processes, we're communicating effectively across the continuum of care these immunization events as they occur. Another thing I like to point out that's just a suggestion for hospitals and health systems is that every patient, or nearly every patient, who is discharged from a hospital leaves that hospital with a prescription or two or more, perhaps, that they need to get filled in an outpatient pharmacy setting. If a physician, a nurse, a pharmacist, the whole healthcare team within the hospital or health system has tried and has not been successful at persuading a patient to be immunized while they're an inpatient, don't take that no as a no forever. It may be that that patient is just saying no for now for whatever reason because of their acute illness. It's a perfect opportunity to write a prescription, issue a prescription for the vaccine that goes right along with all the other prescriptions the patient's walking out of the hospital with. The patient can then take that prescription to the community pharmacy, and you can leverage the community pharmacist to advocate with that patient to be immunized when they're getting all their other prescriptions filled. So it's just one more opportunity for us to advocate, truly advocate with that patient to be completely immunized against these conditions. So it's an opportunity that health system pharmacists have to really connect with the outpatient pharmacist, the community pharmacist, and ensure a better quality of care at that transition is occurring.
That makes great sense. As you mentioned, medication reconciliation is what's on a lot of people's radar these days.
One other suggestion that I would have that I think is a very practical tool, one of the vaccines that is more recently recommended for inpatient utilization is the tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis vaccine, or TDAP vaccine. And as the listeners might be aware, the TDAP vaccine, because we've had a national outbreak of pertussis, is now recommended for use immediately following delivery of an infant. So the mother should be immunized against pertussis if she has not been prior to her pregnancy. She should be immunized immediately following delivery and prior to discharge from the hospital. And right now, very few hospitals have instituted good procedures for ensuring that that gets done. But the number of cases of pertussis in this country has gone up remarkably over the past few years. And the deaths that occur almost always occur in infants. And it occurs because adults who have the condition are spreading it to infants. And so we want to make sure that mom is protected, dad is protected, those vaccines are offered. And so I would just encourage those who are listening to this broadcast who might be in a position of influence over policies in the OBGYN ward that they would consider how they might ensure that the mother is fully immunized, and strategies for how they might, in fact, even offer the vaccine to other family members of the newborn infant before the family leaves the hospital.
When we talk about immunization programs, I immediately think about influenza, but you're talking about pertussis. Are there other vaccinations that you think should be part of an immunization advocacy program?
Hospitals that take a comprehensive approach to immunization advocacy, I think, will find that they will be involved in far more than just influenza campaigns. Obviously, influenza is a major culprit for hospitalization each year and has significant morbidity and mortality data associated with it. But a true comprehensive infection control policy that includes prevention as a strategy for infection control will want to incorporate a variety of vaccines. And pneumococcal disease is a huge culprit, as most of us are very aware. And the immunization options there and the strategies that we have available to us are growing. And so I think that that's a real opportunity for hospitals that they really need to be involved in. TDAP vaccine is a very important vaccine that needs to be included in hospital strategies and policies just simply because of the of the recent national outbreak we've had of pertussis occurring. And I would just add that we need to remember that hospital staff, that includes not only those in direct patient care settings, but any hospital staff member should be fully immunized themselves, and hospitals need to look carefully at those procedures. And then there's also hepatitis B immunization, and all of us in health systems have patient populations who are particularly vulnerable to hepatitis B based upon either lifestyle-related issues or other at-risk conditions. And so hepatitis B vaccine needs to be looked at carefully in those strategies. And then, of course, if we're looking across the lifespan, we really need to include all of those pediatric vaccines and adolescent vaccines and ensure that every patient at every point in the lifespan is correctly and completely immunized prior to their discharge from the hospital. Generally speaking, with the exception of certain live vaccines, it is very correct and very true that if a patient is well enough to discharge home, they are well enough to immunize. And so this old theory that we had that, well, we can't immunize this patient because they're an inpatient, is really not true. If they're well enough to discharge home, with the exception, as I say, in a few remote cases, there's a few immunocompromising conditions where this isn't true, but for the very most part, patient well enough to go home, they're well enough to fully immunize.
Great. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I would just like to encourage everybody to make it their personal effort to not assume that someone else is going to take care of the immunization strategies within your hospital. There's so much that every professional can do to make a difference in individual immunization rates and to improve the immunization rates of your hospital. There's lots of great strategies out there, and participants are going to hear a lot of those strategies on these webinars and in these calls. And I would just encourage each and every person who listens to this to be personally motivated to take charge and to find out what they can do to help improve their institution's immunization rates.
Are there specific resources that you feel are good places to start?
I think one of the finest places to find information, of course, is directly from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They have some best practices on their vaccines website. I would also encourage listeners to look very carefully at ASHP's resources online, and also immunize.org, the Immunization Action Coalition, has a variety of resources available for providers to improve immunization rates. Those three resources, I think, provide a very comprehensive look at specific strategies that hospitals and health systems can put into place to improve immunization rates.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hoag. And of course, if you'd like to learn more about this initiative, Contemporary Strategies for Improving Adult Immunization Rates Across the Health System, and to access other educational opportunities on the topic, visit the web portal at www.immunizeadults.org.